Blog Talk Radio. A podcast featuring Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, two out-of-the-broom-closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC Radio Network. During each show, Elvira and Phoenix will help you create rituals, make spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long-ago cultures and infusing it with a modern perspective. Elvira, Phoenix, take it away.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hey, Elvira. Happy Friday.
Well, happy Friday to you, Phoenix. And how are
I lost you there for a second. Are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm doing great, just so everyone is aware. We've had a little weird technical glitch in getting the show set up today. There was what Alan described as a beaver chewing on the phone line when we were calling in and getting ready. So we are quickly making some adjustments so that we can continue on without any other technical glitches. So fingers crossed that that all works out. So that was a fun adventure. And now we can start and get immersed in the magic.
Truly, truly. I'm excited about that. And what has your week been like?
My week's been pretty good. My daughter went back to school this week, so my mornings are starting much earlier than I would like them to, but that's okay. I set a goal to go back to getting some regular exercise, and I've kept my goal every day, every morning that she's been back in school, so I'm pretty stoked about that. And I'm also doing this Hive Quest Challenge, which is this online school spiritual training program that's been about Kali, the goddess Kali. And we've been doing this devotional work to her all week, and it's been really awesome. I've just been so into the singing and chanting and the devotional aspects of getting to know Kali as a goddess. I just really have loved it. How about you? What has your week been like?
Well, it's been busy with just getting all of my things together for the coming show, clients, trying to get birthdays. I have had clutches of birthdays, little groupings of birthdays of family members that sort of have all snuck up on me, and I've been trying to, you know, get all the little gift cards or cards or whatever together, and some of them get sent off back east and some of them are local. So I'm feeling very celebratory and yet somewhat overwhelmed at times.
Mm-hmm. It's funny how birthdays seem to come in seasons. Like our family birthdays are all in Taurus. It's funny.
That's interesting. Yeah, I have step family, and then I have no biological, connection in terms of the the genetics that we would share in terms of times when fertility was best, but at least I get them, and then I have my own, you know, biological line, but yeah, we seem to all hang at the end of the year. So yeah, so that puts me at that. And it's interesting because one of the things about what we're talking about today, of course, is fertility and the full moon, which I think we could segue into next. But I would say that the little bunnies were happy at the at one time for me, at my family, and at another time for yours.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but I think that it's something that we can start right off, since our topic and our focus is the full moon.
Yes, that's right. So there's so much fun, exciting deliciousness that we can talk about with the full moon. And the reason we picked this topic is, you know, our show is The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron. And so we want to talk about things that have some witchiness to them. And often the energy of the full moon, the mystery of the full moon, the enchantment even of the full moon is connected to witchcraft. And you often see even artwork with women flying on broomsticks in the full moonlight, and folks dancing with demons in the full moonlight out in the woods. And so there is this mystery about the full moon. And scientifically speaking, the full moon has an impact on our planet. It does. The ocean works the way that it does because our planet has a moon. And it's scientifically proven that animals act differently during the full moon. Some certain species of fish are easier to catch. Plants act differently. It's better to harvest certain plants on a full moon. And humans, we act differently during a full moon. Visits to the emergency room go up on the full moon. So, you know, there is something to the energy that this giant orb that circles our planet, it impacts us. So I think Elvira and I wanted to talk about more of that energy and what we can do with that and how we can work with that and why witches do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely I will say that just for my personal statement, that as the full moon was on its fullest on Wednesday and moving in, I had the craziest drivers. So I'm going to tell you, it definitely affects us.
Mm-hmm.
So,
absolutely.
Our perception. Add a little humor to the process, really. I mean, dodge those little cars. One of the things I did want to say about that is that, you know, we are 70% water, as is plants and living beings and animals and all, and that is what, you know, the move works with, is the tides, the waters, and so that is part of the full moon process and the energy of experiencing the ebb and flow. And of course, right now being the fullest, it is, you know, the kind of feeling is total creative fundicity and being able to be abundant. And I think that mm-hmm. is part of what we need to look at, you know, in terms of what does this full moon, or a full moon, not just this full moon, but a full moon, do in terms of energies, and what are the focuses for that? So what do you think those would be in on your side?
For this specific full moon, the one we just had?
Just in general, full moons in general.
Yeah. Well, you know, from a spiritual perspective, the moon when it's full is at ripeness. You know, we often think about big pregnant bellies and goddesses of harvest and these things of abundance. And so the full moon magic and the full moon energy really brings all that into a heightened awareness. And each moon is unique and different. You know, each full moon happens in a different astrological sign. So that is going to also give a special flavor to the full moon. Every month's full moon is a little bit different, a little bit unique, has a little bit different of a feeling and an energy that it brings to us. And I find it really effective for myself to know just a little bit, because astrology is like a whole other language. But if you can get a little bit of information on that specific full moon that you're in, and how that might have a different slant to its influence, it can really be beneficial in your own spell work, in how you start or stop projects. The full moon can be used to really help bring a heightened energy to really anything that you're working on. And I have a little list of some full moon fun facts that I was just going to randomly sprinkle into the show tonight. So here, we'll start with one. It is said that if you carry moonstone or you wear moonstone on your person during a full moon, that stone will become brighter and clearer than it is at any other time. Ooh, is that trippy or what?
That is trippy. It's very trippy, and we'll even see why later on in this show. That is even more trippy. So, yes, and it is a time of conception, you know, sex magic, good time for sex magic. I know that that's something that we're not necessarily bound by X-rated, but we do want to mention that. It is something that this is a good time for us, is dealing with domestic prosperity and the actual fertility, whether, of course, it's humans or plants. It's all part of that same energy.
Right. And from a very traditional witchcraft perspective, there's the Isbat, the Esbat, the Isbat, however you want to pronounce it, E-S-B-A-T. And that's when the witches' covens get together and they do their work for the months, right? So this is a great time for to come together with a group and do magic in a group. You know, if you aren't with a coven or a group who already practice magic together, using the full moon sort of as a meeting time, you know, if you only meet once a month, better it be when the moon is full. And then you can use the energy of that moon to help the group. You know, maybe there's someone in your circle who needs some extra healing, or someone in your circle who is having some financial woes, or whatever the case may be, you can use the energy of the full moon in your witch's Isbat and get some extra magic and juju together in a community. And that's, you know, that comes from old school belief that witches gathered under the full moon. Whether that is true or not, we don't know. Definitely pagans of the deep past were doing worship at the full moon in groves of trees, and what that worship looked like, we could speculate. We could have fun playing with ideas on what that might have looked like. But at least from the late 1800s, people have been regularly gathering, doing witchcraft during the full moon. And so there's also that energy that we can tap into, because people have been doing these practices for over 100 years. And that energy builds and turns into something and becomes alive. And as witches, we can tap into that and use that in our magic as well.
Right. And, you know, one of the things that I have to say is that, again, we go back to what we started on our first show, is that we talk about what we know now and what can be taken through traditional connections, whether it's written or oral, but there is only so far back we can go. But you have to know that they didn't have houses and they didn't have the electricity and they didn't have all the things back in more ancient times. So they did worship outside, or they did worship in areas that were more natural, and being out at the full moon would be something they would want to be, because it illuminated. It was light. You know, they could see. So I think that we are trying to continually give the understanding that our tradition has gaps in it. Some people have filled it in. Other people have been able to bring it to light more recently without fear of being killed. But truthfully, it is a natural progression. And what do we feel like at the full moon, as opposed to what do we feel like at maybe the dark moon or the new moon? And I think that, again, we were going to touch on, we were discussing this before the show started, about just the understanding that the full moon is part of what has been chosen as a triplicity. And that triplicity, though we are not 100% sure that it was in ancient times, it was something that was brought forward into the last 50 years with writings and more traditional aspects that people have picked up on. And you were going to say something about that, and I kind of wanted to segue and give people, you know, the beginning of that, because I know that you had, you know, said that was something you had done some research on, so you can kind of follow through with it.
Yeah, and to add in there as well, you know, our modern calendar is very different than calendars, and even other cultures don't use the calendar that we use. But keeping track of time by the moon is way easier than the calendar that we use. It doesn't have to have extra leap year days added here randomly. It just, you know, we just keep track of the cycle. It's pretty awesome. It's built in. And so that's the other thing. From an ancient perspective, that's how they were judging the tracking of time, is by the moon. And so, you know, we've become disconnected to that. There's actually an author whose name is going to escape me. At some point it'll come to me, probably once the show is over. But his whole theory was that if we could go back as a culture to using the moon as our way of tracking time and as our calendar, we would become a more peaceful society. Now, who knows if that's true or not? It's a very interesting theory, but yes, you know, it's one of the theories out there. We need to change the way we track time to become more peaceful.
Well, I would say that's a good idea.
Yeah, I'm all about peace. I like the idea, you know. The moon makes sense to me. So the idea of this triple moon is a very common concept in Wicca and witchcraft and in paganism and neo-paganism, this triplicate energy. And you see the triplicate energy repeated in a lot of places. We have the triple goddess and the triple moon and these threefold energies, even this threefold law that comes from Wicca. You know, what you put out there will return to you three times. It's kind of I'm going to use some interesting language here. It's a little bit of a bastardization on the law of karma, right? What you put out there is going to come back to you. And all of these things are very Wicca-oriented, which is roots of the neo-pagan movement, but it's definitely shifted and changed. And there are people going back earlier than Wicca and going into ancient texts to try and recreate and do some reconstruction work on how our ancestors worshipped. And this triplicate idea is kind of modern. There are definitely threefold goddesses. Hecate is a threefold goddess. Bridget is a threefold goddess. They're out there. They're not always necessarily connected to this idea of the triplicate moon. And so there are some theories that the reason occultists and folks like Gerald Gardner and Robert Graves, who, you know, created a lot of information in his quote-unquote historical writings, that they created this idea of the triple moon as a way to sort of take some Christian concepts and make them pagan or witchcraft related or older. So we have this idea in Christianity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have this idea in Wicca and in witchcraft and in neo-paganism of the maiden, the mother, and the crone. And then here with the triple moon, you're really not looking at the full influence of the moon, because it's that idea of waxing and waning and full. So we have the growing energy, the full energy, and then the decreasing energy. It leaves out the new moon. It leaves out the quarters and the halves. There's a lot of energy that the moon can bring us throughout its cycle that isn't necessarily touched on in this idea of the triple moon. It's a beautiful symbol. You know, when you see that full circle with the two crescents on either side of it, it's beautiful. It feels beautiful. There's something juicy about the moon symbol when you look at it. If you're in the chat, you can see we've just got a little moon symbol put up in there. Thank you so much. But it really kind of cuts off some of the potential energy of working with the moon. And tonight we're focusing on the full moon. But we also wanted to touch a little bit on all those other phases of what that triplicate moon energy could be feeding into. And, you know, like I said a little while ago with this idea, even if this was invented by someone in the 1890s or the 1950s or the 1980s, if it works, great. So some of these ideas are modern ideas, and they are embraced and loved and practiced by thousands of people. And so there is something to that energy. If so many people find it a useful tool, then it's a useful tool, you know? So we want to talk a little bit tonight on that triplicate energy and how we can work with that and what those energies might connect to or help you connect to in your spiritual work or your spell work. Is there anything you want to throw in there, Elvira?
Well, actually, I thought we might go back a little bit I think that was a great the overview and of the triplicity, where it is, why it is, you know, some of the thoughts that come up about it. And, you know, now just sort of because we're moving along, it's the train time, the train keeps going, is that we need to kind of, I think, give a little idea on the full moon. You can work with, you know, things like prophecy and protection. You've already mentioned, we've talked about, you know, sexuality. Like if you have something, you know, you're wanting to put more energy to help out, find it, you know, helping more with a job, you know, things like that, that work with empowerment, more power going towards something that you want to infuse. And since it's working with the emotions, it's also working with subconscious, and it pushes everything, all those energies that you tune into and push forward into your spell work and into the aspect of what you're looking for. And areas that you can also add to is, you know, I just love adding little, you know, things like what stones, and I was doing some work and saying, what are the herbs and things like that? And I found that some of the herbs actually are moon foods, and not just like, oh, we make a crescent shaped little, you know, cookie or something like that, which of course is great for us sugar people. But there's things like cucumber and grape, and I didn't even think of this, lettuce, papaya, potato, moon foods, and they're under the herbs that are for moon usage, along with, you know, things that we would be more, you know, eucalyptus and mallow and camellia, you know, camphor, myrrh, things like that. I think that you see that there's, you know, even stones. You talked about the moonstone and aquamarine and the crystal. These are all things that you add to your spell work and to your devotional aspects, as well as to your meditation, to help with the full moon energy moving things forward. So,
yeah. All right, are you ready for another full moon fun fact?
Oh, yes, let's go.
All right. Full moon, I need to come up with a song. Full moon fun fact. Okay. If you walk 9 times around a fairy mound during the full moon, you will be shown the entrance to the fairy realms.
Ooh. Now we just have to find a fairy mound.
Yeah, I mean, there's a plethora of them in the UK. Here in Northern California, you have to look a little bit harder. But, you know, if you find a ring of mushrooms, that's a way to get into the fairy realm. But if you take this practice and you do it, if you circle a fairy mound 9 times and you get shown the way to fairy, don't eat anything. If you eat in the realm of fairy, you can't come back. So consider yourself warned. All right, there was your next exciting full moon fun fact.
Oh, how neat. There you go. Well, I definitely, you know, the old saying is what stays in the fairy realm, you know, what is it? Go to the fairy realm that stays in the fairy realm. We don't want to be the one staying in the fairy realm. I kind of like coming back home here. So
Yeah.
But,
It sounds fun, but you can only party for so long before you take a nap.
That's true. Yeah, that's it. You know, and then we're talking about a whole nother myth. Some of the goddesses, though, that are part of this, and again, we're talking moon goddesses. Full moons would be, you know, Luna, and then, of course, we talk about Diana, Selene. That's true, Selene. And I found one that I didn't even, you know, again, I didn't necessarily not know, but Hina from Hawaii is the moon goddess. and, of course, Chang'e in China. Mm-hmm. And then we have the one which you and I were having this wonderful conversation about, Artemis and Diana. Mm-hmm. Would you share what you had said about that? I thought that was very good, along with, of course, the other goddess that we would be talking about later when a dark moon comes up. But would you share that?
Yeah, so Diana and Hecate are often considered moon goddesses, right? But when you look at the crescent moon, when it's waxing, when it's getting bigger, that moon is often called Diana's bow. So she's more associated with that crescent rather than the full moon, even though you see her in writings all over the place being connected to the full moon. And the same with Hecate. When you see the crescent moon and it's waning, it's getting smaller, it's shrinking, that's Hecate's sickle. And so that's, she's connected to that more dark moon energy, the waning moon energy, even though you often see her associated with the full moon. So this is one of those moments where you can see this triplicate nature of the full moon, the triplicate nature of the goddess, with Demeter or Demeter, depending on how you pronounce Greek, being potentially that full moon goddess in the center. Although I have seen that triplicate listed like a dozen different ways, but yeah, so it's always interesting to see the energy.
And you know, one of the things that I did find out is that we also have to give are due to Frigg, because she basically sits and lives in the moon and spins the lives of the of mankind. So that is another, you know, goddess who does work with the full moon in that type of changeability and lengthening of you know, our what we do here on the earth, or changing it and shortening it, either way. So
yeah, and then another traditional practice for folks who have covens or do coven work is drawing down the moon, which is this process of opening up and receiving the moon energy into your body. And in certain witchcraft circles and in Wicca covens, there may be a specific goddess or deity that's invited in when you draw down, and inviting that energy to be inside your body and to impart wisdom or do some oracle work or give offerings to that specific deity. But it's usually done in a full moon situation where you have that heightened energy to help that drawdown process. It's not something I would recommend doing alone. If you want to practice the drawing down, definitely have a tender, someone who can help you or make sure when it's time for you to be you that you're back fully in your body and have all your faculties together. Sometimes those gods can be tricksy.
That's true. It's true. Yeah. And again, it's always, you know, when you're dealing with any of the deities, it is a powerful experience, and you need to be grounded, and you need to know how to get yourself from one state to another, or as you say, have someone who is your moderator, someone who takes care of watching from the outside. And that, again, is by covens, you know, the high priestess that are there to guide and help bring that energy, you know, yourself back and the energy letting it go. Mm-hmm. So it is always taking responsibility on that. And one of the things which we can both of us talk a little bit about before we leave for our break is the tarot cards that are associated with the moon energy, which, of course, is the moon, and also is the high priestess, which both of us, as we do have a little less traditional decks, but the ones that we most see of is the Waite Rider deck. And the high priestess, of course, has her foot on the crescent moon, which, believe it or not, they have started giving some drawing the Virgin Mary into that process, because you do have that part of her becoming the high priestess, again, the virginal part, but the full moon would be more aptly put with the moon card. And of course, that's between the dog and the wolf. We walk that middle path so we don't lose ourselves.
All right, one full moon fun fact before we go to break. Are you ready for this one?
Okay.
All right. Crops, sown near the full moon will be ready to harvest an entire month earlier than crops sown during the waxing moon.
Oh, now that's interesting.
Interesting, right? Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
We definitely have that. Well, I'm hoping that we do that with hair, too, if it grows faster?
I don't know.
Because I'm thinking, you know, for those of us who like to have our hair long and do want it long, you know, I know there is a certain about cutting your hair on a certain time of the moon phase. So I would think that
right.
you would do it when it is fullest to make it grow faster.
Yeah, this is where it comes. It's interesting when you get these fun facts or old wives' tales or however you want to phrase it, because I've heard two exactly opposite things about cutting your hair. I've heard you should only
really?
Cut it on the new moon, and I've heard you should only cut it on the full moon. So I've heard both of those. I don't know.
Well, again, doesn't that show how the individuality of what we're talking about? Every witch is singular under herself with her own practice, and yet getting them all together in a coven and having everyone connect in the same way is as difficult as deciding whether we're going to cut our hair on the new moon or the full moon.
And there's a whole new effect for your coven. We're all going to get our hair cut together.
There we go. I don't know how much, because both of us like long hair. So, I kind of tend to think maybe just a tad on the edge, right, on the end?
Just a little trim.
Yeah, really. Just one thing before we do kind of get into that is we do have animals that go with this particular time. And I think that someone in the chat room had talked about the rabbit, and obviously mm-hmm. the hare is a bigger version. It's a slightly different version, but it's the same kind of animal. And the toad, believe it or not, in the mm-hmm. Chinese tradition. And
sure.
if you'll notice that I have a toad sitting on my dining room table where
mm-hmm.
Phoenix is at, and that is also a animal for prosperity and money coming to one's house. So, but I was told that if you turn it forward to the door during the day, you need to turn it away from the door at night so it rests.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
an Asian superstition. So, you know, if
yes.
you try to follow all the superstitions from all the cultures, you'll go crazy because there's so many things and so many different things to follow and do and keep up with. It would be too much. You have to just
That's
pick
true.
A few that you really like and go with those superstitions.
That's right. And hold to them in the fun facts as well, you see?
Right.
So
right.
it kind of, and that again, we keep kind of moving around to making it your own.
Mm.
It
mm.
instead of following rigidity in one thing always, is that we make it our own. We follow something and add what we, and it's not taking and disrespecting things because, you know, we are universal people in this world. It isn't just that our culture and where we came from, but we are all one anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we can remember that as a planet so we don't blow ourselves up, you know.
Yeah, that would be good. I am not
yeah.
a fan of blowing ourselves up. I think that's a bad choice. Yeah.
It would be. It truly would be. But in the full
yeah.
moon, we do have erratic energies and the emotions, and, you know, we have to be aware of that, not just in outside ourselves, but within ourselves, where we can get a little bit more emotional or hostile or you know,
mm-hmm.
in that way. So we need
mm-hmm.
that energy to hopefully ground and center in a creative way, put it into something creative and not a negative creative, a positive creative.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that's
yeah.
when you're doing magical work, you're doing your own internal spiritual work, you're doing spell work, the full moon is the time to work on those things where you need a little extra support. You need a little extra oomph. Need a little extra kick in your work. Using the full moon and doing your work outside where you can have the energy of that shining down on you, feeling that, being connected to that energy can add just a little extra. You know, magic has to happen when you need it to. you know, if the moon's not full and you have something that needs to be taken care of now, then you take care of it. But if you need just a little extra support, that's when you can step outside, feel the full moon on your face, and let that energy fill you, influence you, work through you to just add a little extra to any type of work you're doing.
That's right. And I think that we are probably close to our commercial break, but I do know that we have certainly given everyone a lot of information and hopefully been able to light a lamp so you guys can kind of find your way through some of our maze of all of the different structures that are out there that are myths and religions and spirituality. So hopefully when we come back, we will have something more on this particular moon that we have just gone through that we can talk about. So, but at this point...
You're listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned as more magic is coming your way right after these messages.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30; Candela's Corner, starring Candela Cambisa and Michael Carell, Mondays 5 to 7; The Crystal Silence League Hour, hosted by John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6; In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7; The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30; The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, starring Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, Fridays 6 to 7; and Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7, all times Pacific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
All right. We're back with more full moon goodness. So we're going to start with a full moon fun fact.
Full moon fun fact.
I can't help it. I have to do it. All right. If you go into the moon, well, no, you can't go into the moon unless you become an astronaut. So let me reel that back. If you go outside and you shine a mirror into the moonlight and then look into the reflection, you will see an image of those people who will be in your future. Ooh.
Ooh. Well, I'm going to have to go out and find the next one because I missed out on this one. Darn. Okay. Well, so this full moon, we have many names for it in many different cultures. Obviously, the more Native American ones seem to come up in some of my books that I have, for instance, my almanacs and things, the corn moon, the sturgeon moon, the great corn moon, the grain moon. Would you like to address a little bit of that?
You know I do. I do want to address that. So sometimes I can get on a bit of a soapbox about certain things, and this naming of moons is one of my soapboxes. So I'm going to keep this to a minimum. Elvira will reel me in if I start to get a little too out there. So we have, you Google the full moon meanings. You look in any book about, you know, modern witchcraft or paganism or what have you, and you will find these Indian names for the moons. And I'm saying that with air quotes because it's just really, to me, it's just really, really silly. We don't know what the Native American tribes would have called the full moons. No doubt they had specific names and meanings and energetics for those tribes. But to say that these are the, with air quotes, Indian month names is slightly offensive, to be honest. There are so many Native American tribes, and they all would have had their own way of doing this and working with the moon energy, if they even did. We don't know. So what's interesting is there in 1918, Daniel Beard wrote a book called The American Boy's Book of Signs, Signals, and Symbols, and it was used by the Boy Scouts. And in this book, he wrote the Indian names, and these names were also used in the Farmer's Almanac. So they come from somewhere, right? And they're interesting, they're cool, but they're really also very East Coast centric, and Elvira and I are in Northern California. You know, and what I've noticed over the years and working with Full Moon Energy and being involved in paganism in some form or another for over 20 years, my full moon, the energy, the landscape, what the plants and animals are doing, what's happening here in Northern California is so different than what's happening in Oklahoma or Minnesota or Maine or England or India. So the full moons are really based on region, and the energies are regional. And I'll say what is believed by folks who have done some investigating into these Indian names is they're probably Algonquin. If there is any influence from an actual native tribe, it's probably from the Algonquin languages, which is where it's believed that this list was translated from into English, with an Algonquin language, which is also interesting because they weren't writing these things down. It's not like there was an Algonquin who had a book of moon lore and handed it over to Mr. Beard and he wrote it into the Boy Scouts book, you know? So you got to take all of this with a grain of salt. And I would encourage you to spend a year and make your own names and cycles and energetics. It's something that I do. I have every month I have a different name for the full moon. I have a different way that I work with it. And it's taken me years to develop this system because it's, you know, it's from watching the land and watching the flowers that grow. One of my full moons, in my system, the February full moon is the daffodil moon because that's when the daffodils start popping up. Is right around the full moon in February. And the opposite of that is what I call the naked lady moon, which happens in August, which was the full moon we just had yesterday. And the naked lady moon is these beautiful pink lilies that grow in the area where we live. They're called naked ladies. They're my favorite flower. So August is the naked lady, which is a perfect segue into talking about the full moon that happened yesterday, the full moon of August, which Elvira said is sometimes referred to as the corn moon, the sturgeon moon, the green moon, right? So we have, those are the Algonquin or the Indian names for the moon. But from an astrology perspective, each full moon is connected to a different energetic, and the full moon of August is connected to the sign of Aquarius. So the energy of Aquarius is also connected to this full moon. And so we have this potential to work with things that are a little bit weird and quirky. Like Aquarius can be weird and quirky. And it's also about how we relate to the bigger world, how we may want to be looking at what we can do better, what we can bring out into our communities. All of these things are very Aquarian. And so we're looking at that right now in this astrological soup that we're in, and it's been a challenging year astrology-wise. There's been all kinds of things in retrograde, multiple things in retrograde at the same time. It's been kind of a pain in the butt this year. And this full moon as well is as close to an eclipse as you can get without actually being an eclipse. So there's also that energy, like this building and building and building to this extra juicy magic, and then it doesn't happen. Like it's got so close, and then kind of want, it doesn't happen, right? So there's something interesting about that too. And this full moon carries the energy of helping us make breakthroughs. It carries the energy in our creative power and our intellect. It can help us really look at where we need to be more innovative in our lives, where we need to experiment more, where we need revolution. So this is a really powerful moon for us leading up into the election and all of these things that are coming in our future as a culture. So it's pretty intense, this recent full moon, and it's not too late to work with this moon's energy, even though the official full moon was yesterday, I believe. Today's Friday, yes?
Yes. Yeah.
So it's not too late. You know, there is a belief that you have the 3 days before and the 3 days after a full moon to really still do some spiritual, magical spell work with that moon energy. So if there are some things you feel you need to shift in your life, if there's places where you're feeling too attached, too obsessed, too invested, places you need to let go of, this full moon can help. This full moon can really help. So... Mm-hmm. And, you know, and every full moon has its special flavor like that. So this is a good time to be looking at those things in your life.
True.
Is there anything you want to toss in there?
Well, I'll just toss in, since we talked about the Native American words, the how do we want to put it, our, you know, the Celtic tradition, the is the wart moon, not a wart like on your finger, but W-O-R-T, which actually is, the meaning is herb, root, plant, Old English, and it is a time of gathering in the wort, the plants that are going to be used with, along with the malted barley and the hops, and it's starting to get ready to brew the beer. Now, obviously, I'm telling this only because I'm not a beer person, but, you know, it's one of those things where harvest time comes in, and we're going to certainly have the harvest fair here in Santa Rosa, and that's all, you know, geared to the different grapes and things, and I think even now the microbrewing. But it's about gathering it in. And this, as you say, this particular full moon had a lot going for it, especially right after Saturn going direct, where we really have to, you know, kind of get rid of garbage so that we can get the good harvest. So, you know, going through the harvest, you don't take everything in. You take the things that are the best, and you release the rest into the wild, the nature, as well as the energetic patterns. So I think that with what we've got going on as a moon and what we've had astrologically, I really feel that our life is really shifting to let go of the garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we don't want to let go of our favorite piece of garbage because we really, really love it. Even though it makes us very unhappy, we still really love it. And
yeah.
That's what this moon is about, and I think that it is a time, and we're moving more into harvesting and that time frame as we get, you know, go on to the next month. But this was a very powerful moon. It still is.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can look at what we will be putting out there in the world soon as, you know, the wintertime comes, because we'll be coming into ourselves more. But right now, just go through those old pieces of stuff and let go.
Mm-hmm. And there was a really good question in the chat from Nagi Shiva about what makes it an official full moon. So what makes it an official full moon is really from a very scientific astrological perspective. The moon is a full from an astronomy perspective at a specific moment in time. And from after that moment, it starts to get smaller again. It starts to go into the waning process. So the full moon was on August 18th at 5:26 a.m. Eastern time, and that's when it was from an astronomy perspective, completely full. So today we're in the waning, and we're getting a little less of that energetic, but from a spiritual perspective, we still have some leeway, right? The moon still looks full tonight if you look at it in the sky. But that's what makes it official. That was a great question. Thank you.
Wow, we are touching on some, you know, we're really pushing a lot of the energies here about what we know and how we know it. And some of it is, yes, scientific. We actually go to science.
That's right. Science and magic are, they're siblings. They're hand in hand. And the more science reveals, magic people are like, yeah, I already knew that. Yeah, we've known that for decades. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that at this time we might want to give the ritual for this time frame. And since I was lucky enough to have that as mine, since, you know, we kind of are sharing this time frame,
mm-hmm.
and then that'll give us time to talk a little bit if they're, you know, afterwards about that. The ritual that I was looking at working is scrying, and taking a silver bowl and filling it with water and taking it outside to the full moon and letting the moon rays come in, but adding a moonstone into it, and that will be utilized afterwards. But you let the moon rays come in, and you just deep breathe and settle your mind and allow the energy to come forward and let you go into a more meditative state to bring forth information, sentences, pieces of visions, whatever. But since we're kind of away from that full moon, if we would come inside, we could make it a little bit more ritualistic. We can put a candle up, put the bowl down so that the candle actually is the full moon energy coming in, and look into it, have, you know, a little bit of incense going, myrrh incense, and a little thing of a little cup of salt, so you can kind of have the energies there. If you want to add the candle or the tarot cards, the moon and the high priestess, that's fine. If not, you just sit there and you deep breathe into it and you get into that. And when it is complete, when you feel complete with what information or energies have come to you, then you take that water and you go put it out into the garden. You take your moonstone before you do that, and you hold on to it and you let the water go. And you take that moonstone and you use it in your dream time, sleep with it under your pillow for the next one cycle, for another month till the next full moon, and see what comes out of that with the concepts of what you need to know for what's happening in your life.
Nice.
And I know that somebody just said they use a black mirror. You can use black mirrors, you know, crystal balls, things like that. I was looking more at the water for this time, but I do use black mirrors occasionally when I am scrying as well. That is a different, but I use that during the dark of the moon. But anyway, is there anything you want to throw out there from this?
Well, I would add that I took a picture. Elvira actually set up a little altar here for this working. So it's really beautiful. It's simple and beautiful. So I took a picture of it, and I'll be putting that in our Facebook page if folks want to take a look at it and just get a little inspiration for some full moon work to do, and the work that Elvira shared. You can't see the crystal in the bowl that is here in the picture very well, but there is a beautiful quartz crystal in the bowl. And I just noticed this is 2 weeks in a row that we've offered a ritual featuring a quartz crystal. That's very interesting.
There must be something about that. We'll have to ask the powers that be after we get off the phone why.
All right, full moon fun fact. Ready?
Ready? Ready.
Okay. Wood that is cut at the new moon, well, trees that are cut during the new moon are harder to split than wood that is cut at the full moon.
Now that's interesting.
I don't know how many of us are regularly chopping wood. I know I'm not. I have a magical button in my house, and I push it, and heat turns on. I'm very lucky in that regard, but there are still lots of people who have to regularly cut wood to keep themselves warm or for camping or for whatever other fun purposes you might be using wood for. So something interesting to pay attention to when you're out there being a lumberjack.
Yep. Yes. And we are still in lumber country, too, even though redwood had been the choice of tree, but we still have people that are cutting trees down for various reasons. But, there is always that. I mean, this would go well for people in the Midwest and some of the places in the North where, you know, they do cut wood down for their fire-burning stoves and things that they stay warm at. So, under the circumstances, I don't think you or I will be doing that, but that's okay.
Yeah. And to add a second little challenge for folks, if you're feeling excited about this full moon energy and things that you can do and have done around the full moon, I would highly recommend getting a journal, a notebook, a spiral binder, whatever, and using this specifically to write down notes about the full moon. You know, even if this is just August 18th, full moon, I ate pizza and went to bed, you know, wasn't feeling great, whatever. But just write a little note down about each full moon, what you did, what the energy felt like. Did you even go outside and see the moon? Did you have trouble sleeping? Just keeping a journal, keeping a log, keeping a record. What are you noticing that's happening in the world around you? What's in blossom? What are the trees starting to change color? keeping a little note of these things. And then you can start to compile, even after a year, you can look back through and see some of the changes. And if you do this 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, you'll really see the patterns. And you'll notice from year to year, oh my gosh, every year, the full moon in July, this thing happens. And it can help you get in tune with the cycles that are happening in the world where you live, in your own life, right around where you are.
True. And that's part, again, of the rhythm of what the moon cycle is about, is checking the rhythm that you have, your own rhythm, in conjunction with the bigger rhythm of the moon. So I think that that's a very good suggestion. I am probably least likely, unfortunately, to do that, since I do not journal with any kind of longevity, as I have found when I went to move all the partially written journals that I had to decide to release and let go of.
But I do
think it's a good idea. It's not that I don't. I just know that I don't have such stick-to-itiveness to do that. But I do, I jot down notes, or I make mental things that are part of it that I tend to, you're going to laugh at this, I do dream boards, only I do them as things that kind of make, it's a visual way of describing what I'm feeling at the time. And I've been doing that for over 10 years, and I started it before, and I did it sort of sporadically, but then it sort of became a meditation for me to do, and that's probably, if I look back and see all the ones that I have stuck nicely in, you know, containers, I would see the same thing, the patterns in terms of it, only the visual.
This can be a really fun thing to do with a coven. So if you have a coven, if there's a group that you regularly meet with, this is something you can do together. If you have a communal book of shadows where you're writing down all the rituals that you do or the spells that you create together, this is something you can do with a group that meets regularly, each of you sharing your own impressions and your own experiences. And what can also be fun about this is, oh, Elvira mentioned she dreams a lot during the full moon. Oh my gosh, I do too, and so does Susie Q, and so does Joe. And you know, all of a sudden you realize, oh, this is a common thing for our group. I wonder if this will happen next full moon. And maybe it does, or maybe none of you can sleep the next full moon. You never know. But it's a fun project to do with a group and see where you have similarities, where you have differences, and you know, look at all of that. Oh my gosh, I just noticed the time.
Yes, I was about ready to try and run around and go with the circle, like wrap it up time, but I can't move. But we need to say thank you to all of the people that have put this show together, the unsung heroes or the sung heroes, Alan and Nagashiva and Guion and the two of us, of course, I wish to thank us. But who else would you like to throw out there to thank? I think it's been it's getting a little bit easier if we don't have another technical problem next week. But
next week we'll be back at the same bat time and the same bat channel. We're going to talk about Athames, Athames, Atames. How do you say that word anyway?
Anything. It's a cutting edge.
So we're going to talk about nice and stabby things. Great.
Oh, goody, goody. Well, have a wonderful week, and we will see you on the radio next week.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, The Priestess, and The Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs live every Friday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and is available for download. Questions or comments on this show, or ideas for upcoming shows, can be sent to our website at witchpriestesscauldron.com. That's witchpriestesscauldron.com. On behalf of Elvira, Phoenix, and myself, Guion Raven, a big merry meet, merry part, and merry meet again. Blessed be.